Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 116 of the year of the Bible, and our penultimate day in the second book of Kings. And we finally get some good news, sort of, in the second book of Kings. Well, good news, well, better than Manasseh, for sure. Josiah becomes king in chapter 22. Josiah is a hero, is a hero of the Old Testament. Became king when he was 8 years old, which is crazy. Was reigned for 31 years. But he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I love this. There in verse 2, it says, and he followed completely the ways of his father David. But wait a minute. David's not his father. David's his, like, great-great-great-grandfather, I think. His father is Amon, king of Judah, who did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done, and so forth. But I like this little phrase about Josiah, because it said he followed completely the ways of his father David. He just looks back and goes, the Bible, kind of looks and says, nope, David. David is this guy's predecessor, not Ammon. And it goes to say something about the way that the biblical authors do not, like, privilege families, like privilege certain families, like the people. They are who they are, and they do well or they do ill, but it's not based on you know who your family is or anything like that. In fact, here with Josiah, it sort of chooses his family, right? Like selects who he's going to be the successor of. I don't know. I really like that. Followed completely the ways of his father, David. Now, something funny happens, which is, you know, Josiah is working on repairing the temple, right? The temple has been going through this, you know, over the course of these decades and decades. It's been kind of ransacked periodically. It's been, you know, things of the treasures of it have had to be taken out and, you know, given as tribute to various Gentile nations and that kind of thing. Well, Josiah, bless him, is working on it. And while they're working on it, they find the book of the law. They find the book of the law, which has apparently been lost. Now, we think that when it says the book of the law, it's talking about Deuteronomy for various reasons. One of which is, remember, at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses says something like, write all this down, and they go across the Jordan, and Joshua does have it all written down. So then there's a written Torah from that point forward. But it had been lost. Had it been lost for a couple weeks? Had it been lost? Probably not. Had it been lost for a decade more? Who knows? But they did not have it. And it was found. And Shaphan the secretary went to the king and read the book of the law, which is the Deuteronomy. So let's assume that it is the words of Moses. He freaked out. He tore his robes because he knew what it was. Because remember, the Deuteronomy is all about, I have given you this land forever and ever. However, your presence in the land is dependent on your faithfulness. And Josiah knows how they've been faithful, which is to say that they have not always been. And so they go and ask, and so Josiah says, you need to go talk to a prophet and figure out what's going on here. And so they go to Huldah, H-U-L-D-A-H, one of the female prophets in the Old Testament. And she has her answers in two parts. The first is, so bad news. The Lord says he's going to bring disaster on this place and its people, because that's what Deuteronomy says. So it's going to it's going to, he says, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. However, the second part of the prophecy is Josiah himself was humble and faithful. And so it was, Josiah will be buried peacefully. And you're not going to see all the terrible things that are going to happen to Judah. So that is sad. But what he did then, when he got the book of the law, what Josiah, and again, this is why Josiah is a great king. They sort of recovenanted themselves to Yahweh. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul, etc., etc. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So they again sort of re-sign themselves up with Yahweh, which is just going to have to be something that you have to do periodically. You know, we have our renewal of baptismal vows. Anytime there's a baptism, we all sort of renew our baptismal vows. And it's the same kind of idea. Like, so you're baptized at one point, you have this covenant with God, you know, at one point in baptism, but then you sort of renew it over and over, you know, not every day, although maybe every day, but you, periodically, it's good to return to it and be reminded of the things that are important. So that's what Josiah does. So those are the words, and then he puts it into action. And so for the next like couple paragraphs, it's starting with Jerusalem and then sort of radiating out from Jerusalem all the way, you know, into Samaria and like some of the northern parts. He goes on this sort of reforming iconoclastic zeal, burning down altars and cutting down Asherah poles and doing all the places where incense would be burned to Baal and all that kind of stuff. He got rid of all, and it just goes on and on. Now, it looks kind of random to me. I saw at least one diagram, maybe two, that sort of showed how this follows a particular structure. I'll just have to take that on faith, I suppose. But there it is, smashing sacred stones and all the desecrated the high places, all this kind of stuff. And one of the very important things he did is he reinstituted the Passover. There are only two Passovers after the actual Passover that are described as being celebrated. One with Joshua, remember? Or was it with Moses? I don't remember. And then the other one here with Josiah. Anyway, they're not very many. But Josiah, again, sort of a reforming zeal. Now we're doing the stuff that we, you know, that we said. Because in verse 22, it says, neither in the days of the judges who led Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. So it had been a long time since they had been celebrating the Passover. Then it goes even more about all the things that Josiah got rid of, and the writer says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Listen to this, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. All his heart, all his soul, all his strength. Of course, is something from Deuteronomy itself. I think it's also in Numbers. With all his heart, all his soul, and all of his strength. We say it at our 8 o'clock services as the summary of the law, because it is what Jesus said as well. When they said, what's the summary of the law? He is the only person, Josiah is the only person in Scripture who is described in this way, who is described about fulfilling that law. Nevertheless, the very next sentence, nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away the heat of his fierce anger. I will remove, and he says, I will remove Judah from my presence as I removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, and the temple about which I said, my name shall be there. So bad things are coming to Judah. But you might think, well, then Josiah dies. But then you think, well, But what if, maybe, what if Josiah's, like maybe this is a new day, you know? Like, maybe this is a new day for Judah. And even after Josiah dies, Josiah goes out to fight against the Egyptians and the Assyrians, and he's killed. But maybe, you might think, with all the good that Josiah's done, this will be a new age. And the answer is no. The answer is no. Because even within chapter 23, we get a very short reign of Jehoahaz, who is one of the sons of Josiah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was only in Jerusalem 3 months. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, just as his predecessors had done. So remember when I said you can choose your predecessors? You also kind of choose your successors here, because he did evil in the eyes of the Lord just as his predecessors did. Well, his immediate predecessor was Josiah, who had not done anything. But again, it's almost like the family, the blood relation is less important than what he does. And so the predecessor of Jehoahaz is unfortunately not Josiah, but, you know, Manasseh, right? Or Ammon or something like that. And he ends up becoming a prisoner of the Egyptians. So this is when the Egyptians are sort of on the ascendancy. Remember, the Israelites had been under the Assyrian thumb, and then they're under the Egyptian thumb. This Jehoahaz was only on the throne for 3 months. So maybe you got a new, maybe Jehoiakim, he's going to be, no, he's no good either. Jehoiakim was on the throne in Jerusalem for 11 years, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord just as his predecessors had done. Now that's the end of chapter 23. Chapter 24, which we'll do tomorrow, is about the fall of Jerusalem and the fall of Judah, and it happens during Jehoiakim's reign. Jehoiakim was not even his name. His name was Eliakim, but the Pharaoh changed his name to Jehoiakim. Insult to injury, right? It just goes to show you how weak Judah is when some other state is able to change the name of its king. So there you are. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So these are the last days. These are the last days. So you can say, so the rediscovery of the Torah here, it's been suggested, you know, just like when we went from Moses to the written Moses, if you will, you know, and we said at that point in Joshua, we've gone from sort of something based on a person that is Moses to something written, right? The written Torah, and it's the Torah that, you know, that is gonna help the people, you know, for the rest of the time. So you might say, well, here you're seeing the move from sort of temple worship to Torah, right? Because the temple's about to be destroyed. Not to give away the ending here, but they just rediscovered the Torah and that kind of thing. But even the rediscovery of the Torah, and I think this is something that points forward to Jesus, even the recovery of the Torah and even increased Torah observance is nonetheless not able to save Judah. Right? It's good. Don't get me wrong, but it can't effect the permanent change that needs to be made, right? The wisdom of Solomon couldn't save Judah. The temple worship could not save Judah. And now the law itself is not able to save Judah. It's going to have to be something else. It's going to have to be someone else, which is Jesus, which is Jesus himself. God himself, who is the living word, the living Torah, who can change things in the way that unfortunately even Josiah could not, and certainly certainly you and I can't by ourselves. So that's what we're looking to. We get examples of good kings. We get examples of bad kings. Josiah is the eighth of the good kings. He began reigning when he was 8 years old, and he was the eighth of the good kings. All 40 kings at all in 1 and 2 Kings. Only eight of them are good, and Josiah is one of them. Nonetheless, Josiah died. Right, Josiah died, and his successors couldn't keep it up. Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and is alive. Jesus is alive today, and he is still the king, and he is still the one that can effect the changes in the world, the changes for ourselves, and even when we don't do it right, he is the one who can bring us back when we can't bring ourselves back. So there you are for today. Sad days here at the end of 2 Kings, but even in the losses, the losses, just like all the biblical losses, point forward towards a better return. And that's what we'll see, but not yet. All right, I'll leave it there for today. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye. Go Detroit Lions.
Go Lions.